this morning. 1 Corinthians, if you've got a Bible, hope you'll open up to it. If you've got a phone or a tablet, if you download the app, you're already there. You can look at the notes. And if somebody around you has got a Bible, maybe they can share with you. But you can scan that QR code right there by the program. That'll take you right to the YouVersion app, which is really, really helpful there. Stand with us if you're willing and able. 1 Corinthians 15. If you're glad you're here this morning, say amen. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says in verse number 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" By the way, they said it then, they say it now. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Christ is not risen. Our preaching is empty or vain. Your faith also is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. We are liars. Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If there's no resurrection at all, then Christ didn't rise. But Christ did rise, and we will also rise. For the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? Christ is not raised. Your faith is empty or vain. Yea, are you in your sins? And they also which are fallen asleep," that's a metaphor there, "are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Your finger's there. Turn your page. Look at this, verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In the beautiful expression, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law. The thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to say amen after that verse. Amen. Pray with me. Father, I pray front to back, side to side. Lord, as we end our journey, we end our walk, our Road to Calvary series today. Father, I pray that you would help us. You would impress on our hearts not only the reality of the resurrection, but what we can do and what we can say because you live. And everything changes because you live. So I pray we would never get over this truth, and I pray for those who need to hear it today, maybe for the first time, they need to know that their life can be different. Their past can be forgiven. Their sin can be forgiven. Their whole life can be changed because you live. So help us to take this from theoretical and abstraction, Lord, to practical reality, and I pray we would be different because you live. Help us. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, as I preach on the outside, you would speak on the inside. Draw people to yourself. Comfort us. Encourage us. Convict us. But, Father, more than all of that, in all of that, change us. I pray in your Son's wonderful and precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. My wife and I typically for years and years, we're great, 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 great watchers, if we had time, of the home improvement shows. And whether that was the fixer-upper shows, I've talked to Keith about this, whichever the ones he maybe helped to work on and all those kind of things, but those channels where they would show you stuff. And they're multitudinous now, but in particular, we would be at church all day on Sunday, and typically I'd be headed to, the kids were small, and we would watch one kind of last thing before we'd put them in bed on Sunday night, and our family typically gravitated toward a show called a home makeover show with a Ty Pennington there, and a home improvement kind of show there, and they had a famous expression. They would say, we're gonna move that bus, and they did something different first season, the second and the third season. The first season they tried to fix the houses that were there. And what they figured out was, the gimmick was, they try and do it in 7 days. And what they figured out was, they usually have structural problems. And it was faster, easier, and quicker to bulldoze the house, pour a new pad, and then stick frame the thing. They'd have all these. I said that a few years ago, talked about this a little bit. And I remember, I actually know somebody who got one of those houses. I went to school with a guy who adopted a bunch of kids. He ended up with about 10 or 11 children, and they built him one of those houses, and he's still living in it there in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Rodney Baker is his name, and Rodney was a recipient of those kind of things. But it always got me. It always got me. I was absolutely sucked in, and I knew what they were going to do. And they'd come back from commercial, and they'd have the family there, And ABC typically would fly them somewhere. A lot of times they'd fly them to Disney or whatever. And they'd say, hey, move that bus. And they'd move the bus. And whatever house they had had been replaced by this amazing house now that was safe for. Maybe it had handicap access. Maybe it had a special room. If they had a special needs child, whatever it was. And I'd feel it. I'd feel it because I'm just as sappy as I can be sometimes. I'd feel it right here. I'd feel it coming here, and I'd feel the eyes begin to start messing around. Anybody in here, all of a sudden, you know, you're real manly or you're real womanly, but all of a sudden, you know, you feel that lump in your throat, and you get real sentimental, and these perfect strangers on TV that I have been emotionally manipulated to feel for. And all of a sudden, man, I'm right here, and I'm there, and I'd have this reaction. Andre said, are you okay? I'm fine, you know, best I could tell. You know, choking back the tears. And if I was watching by myself, you know, I'd just cry like a baby, but I had to be manly for Andre. And we'd do that, and I'd have a different reaction. I'd be overwhelmed with emotion, and Andre would go, you know, we need to go to Lowe's. And Home Depot. I said, no, we're going to quit watching this show if it's going to cost us anything. And we're here. But I've never gotten over that fact. I've never gotten the fact that most of these places, man, you'd think you need a renovation. No, you didn't need a renovation. You needed a total teardown. Everything had to go. Everything had to be made new. Nothing could stay. And I think that's a lot of times how we treat the resurrection. This would be a nice thing to add. I need a little paint on the walls. I need a little of this. No, you need a total teardown. This would be a nice thing to put there. I'd like to have this affectation. I wouldn't mind having a piece of jewelry to wear. No, this is a total, absolute teardown. This is not something to add to things. This is not adding religion to your life so you'll feel better. It's tearing down the old life. It's getting a brand new one. Not about wearing a cross or posting a verse or attending a service. This is the defining moment in human history. This is the pivot point of all eternity. This is the dividing line in your life. If the resurrection is not true, then Christianity collapses. But if it is true, then that is the only thing that matters. If the resurrection is not true, nothing else matters. If it is true, then nothing else matters more. We don't need renovation. We need the resurrection. You say, preacher, why are you still talking about this? Because Paul kept talking about it. Because the New Testament kept talking about this. Over and over and over again. So I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to walk you just boom, boom, boom. And I want to give you some reasons why you ought to care. But because he lives, everything is different. So number one there. The resurrection. I said this last week. I give it to you just for review. And I remind you, if you missed the service last week, you can watch it online. It offers answers for doubters. It offers hope for grievers and the brokenhearted, and it gives forgiveness for sinners, and that ought to be enough. Amen. We should have been hallelujahing and shouting last week. We should have been clapping our hands because it is the best news that I know. Everything is different because of the resurrection. Everything's different. Everything was different in Mary Magdalene's life. Everything can be different in your life. And so we're looking at this here. Paul's going to break it up. He's going to go, okay, if he's not alive and if he is alive, because he's alive. So let's walk through it. I want to be quick this morning, but I want you to grab it. If you're with me, say amen. All right, here we go. Number one. If he's not alive, the message collapses. Verse 14. Let's stay with the text. if he's not alive, verse 14, if Christ be not risen, is our preaching empty or vain or worthless, and your faith is also vain. It's the difference in real money and monopoly money. The message just collapses. You can say whatever you want. I was watching someone the other day, and he said, if you thought for a minute that all the supplements in the GNC worked, you'd think everybody who bought them, they'd have plenty of hair, and they'd have big muscles, and they wouldn't have any problems. He said, they're just nice things to have. He said, if they did what they said they would do, everybody would buy them, and they would cost a lot more money. And I thought, this man's making a lot of sense. I don't know why I keep buying all these supplements. The message just collapses. Everything's different. You and I, it doesn't pass the smell test. If it is not true, then we have no message. Number two, then the messengers are false. Somebody said, Pastor, I didn't know you pulled for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I said, I do. He said, why didn't I know that? I said, we haven't had anything to cheer for in a long time. Those of you who don't follow football, you don't know what that means. But anyway, it'd be like pulling for the Mets or the Cubs, depending on what year it is. And we're here. Man, the messengers are false. It's one thing to tell a lie and not know you're telling a lie. It's another thing to tell a lie and absolutely know you're lying. The messengers are false. They're con men. When we're here, the message collapses. If Jesus is still in the grave, then every sermon, every preach is just empty noise. We are false witnesses of God. We either have been deceived or we're absolutely positively liars. He said if he's not alive, we're still condemned. Verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is empty and you are yet in your sins. I have a good brother, friend. He went to buy a house. He'd been married about 5 years. Went to buy a house. Bank said, "Hey, you put down that you and your wife are you and this lady are married." He said, "But you're not married." He said, "He'd been, by the way, 5 years in ministry." And he said, "Yeah, we got married back so and so." He said, "I don't know what to tell you, Reverend." He said, "But you and your wife are not married." And he said, "Well, so some kind of snafu." He goes back to the pastor that married him. Pastor gets all blushy-faced and says, "You know, I always wondered if I remembered to send off your documents." He says, "What do you mean you don't know if you did that?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got busy and all these kind of things." He said, "But I was pretty sure I did." He said, "You're pretty sure?" And sure enough, he'd been living, according to government, in sin for the last 5 years. And he had the ceremony, but nobody ever filed the paperwork. And I asked him, I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well," I said, "I tried to break up with her, but we'd already had 2 kids by then." He said, "What do you do?" He said, "There's a lot of forms you got to fill out in order to convince the government that you're actually married, you know, 5 years after the fact." I said, "What you do the past?" He said, "I hadn't spoken to him since." And anyway, I don't know about the last part. I made that up. We're here, you know. If Christ didn't rise from the grave, you and I are still in deep, deep, deep trouble. The receipt, as the young people like to say, you do not have. Number 5, the dead are still lost. What about those folks who've passed away? There's no hope for them. There's no hope for them. Verse 18, look at it again with me. Again, "They also which fall asleep in Christ are perished." If this sounds familiar, it's because you've interacted with someone who's skeptical. Because these are the arguments that they make. What do you do? Number 5, you're to be pitied. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." He'll say later on, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die." If Jesus did not rise from the grave, these 5 things are true. They were true then. They're true today. You and I must understand this. We must take stock of this. Intellectually, we must agree to this. It is actually in the Scripture. These are the arguments that are here. Say, "Preacher, you did not encourage me at all." I wasn't trying to encourage you because we hadn't gotten to verse 20. Read it with me again. "But now is Christ risen from the dead." Say it with me if you would. "But now is Christ risen from the dead." Some of you want to clap. Some of you want to shout. Some of you are getting busy with your markers and your highlighters there. Someone suggested this is the greatest interjection in the Scripture. It is certainly one of the best turns of phrases in all the Bible, if not all of recorded history. "But now God is risen." "But now Christ is risen." Because he lives, everything changes. Your life can change. Your life has changed. Your life will change. See, "I don't know much about Jesus." He knows everything about you. "See, I've done too much. I put this into my body. I did this with another person I wasn't married to. I drank this I shouldn't have. I said this I shouldn't have." And you start rattling off the litany of things. Let me remind you, because Christ is risen from the dead, that resurrection power can change your life. Let me help you. The resurrection power is the only thing that can change your life. Some folks say, "You know, we talked about this in Sunday school. You know, I'd invite this person to church. I'd invite this whatever, but I'm just not really good at it." The problem is that you're focused on you. It's not about you. It never will be about you. People that you're inviting to Christ, man, you're not going to change your life. Christ is going to change your life. Through his resurrection power, everything changes. Say, what changes? You still with me? Because he lives? Because he lives? He rattles them off. I want to give them to you here. Number 1, the gospel is true. Your Bible's open. Find with me. I'm going to end up back in 1 Corinthians, but I want you to see these kind. The gospel is true. Turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's stay awake this morning flipping pages here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, just a few pages to your right there. Chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, excuse me, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or made known in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached in the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. The God-man was what? Justified in the spirit. Everything is exactly as God said it was. He was justified, vindicated, proven, declared righteous. The empty tomb is heaven's receipt that the payment was accepted. The gospel is true. It's not true because I say it's true. It's true because I point back to an empty tomb that up from the grave he arose. You and I have confidence, empirical confidence. Some folks talk about hope like you're crossing your fingers. Like I hope this. At our house, we always have a family tournament. We use a ESPN or CBS Sports. I forget. We use a thing where we can all participate. We pick the brackets for the NCAA tournament. And my savant wife goes, "That's a pretty color. I like that mascot." Click, 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 click. Riley agonizes over it. I don't know what Allison does. I don't know what her process is. Chicken bones, and I don't know what she's doing. I don't know what she's doing. But Andre, I know that's what she does. I know because I've watched her. I've watched her. She goes through all 64 teams in about 22 seconds. Guesses at a score. Punches it in. First two or three rounds, man, it's just awful. I'm ahead. I'm feeling good about myself. And my silly wife, most of the time, picks the last two teams. Just through sheer randomness and picking colors. And it is annoying because then she takes a screenshot and says, "I'm number one." I'm like, "Yes, ma'am, you are." And remind me while I go outside and chop some wood. Get rid of my anxiety and my angst here. The other day she said, "Vindicated." "Yes, you are. You won." And say, "What'd she win?" "She won smug self-satisfaction." That was it. And which anyway, we have fun with it. The gospel is true. Say, "I just hope. I just hope." Well, if you hope like my wife hoped that the purple team with the tiger, you know, does better than the team with the bear. But if you go, you know what? Jesus said he lived. There ought to be archaeological proof that he lived. Jesus said that he died. There ought to be some record that he really did die. He said he rose again from the grave. There ought to be, beyond scrutiny, the evidence for the resurrection. But because he lives, the gospel is true. If you're thankful for that, say amen. Number two. See, your sins can be forgiven. You're right there. Let's go over a page or two more. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." If you're underlining and highlighting your Bibles, your note, or your tablets, where underline and highlight the verse. We have redemption through his blood. Because he lives, your record can be cleared. Your guilt can be removed. Your destination can be changed. You were in prison. You were emboldened to your sin. And all of a sudden, what? Man, your chains are gone. You have been set free. The price has been paid. Everything is different now. This is the relational aspect. You ever been with someone, and even though the water supposedly been or the air supposed to been cleared, they're still kind of off put by you? There's still the awkwardness and the tension. There's no tension anymore. Your sins can be forgiven because he rose from the grave. Everything can be different. Say, "I've made too much of a mess. I'm just a, you know," I was talking to someone the other day, "I'm just a screw up. Just a screw up." No, no, no. You have the power of the resurrected Christ, his Holy Spirit living inside. Everything can be different. You don't have to live that way anymore. God does not treat you as a stepchild, as a reject. God does not treat you in light of your failures. God looks at you and says, "I love you and I forgive you." You can be justified. Me justified. Justified doesn't mean I don't care what you just justified is the idea of being declared righteous. Someone says we are now innocent, and I won't quibble with that comment. I know that's what it means to most people. I think a better term is acquitted. See, you are guilty. You did blaspheme God. You did take his name in vain. You did sleep with someone who what you weren't married to. You did drink and get drunk. You did say no to the Holy Spirit of God. You did dishonor your mother and father. You did drop an F-bomb last week. You did those things. You are guilty. You've been given his righteousness. And his righteousness is what you and I needed. The standard is not good. The standard is perfection. There's only ever been one totally perfect person, and he offers you his righteousness. And when he says you and I can be justified, it's now as if God's righteousness has been put on my account. And even though I am guilty and was guilty, now I am treated in light of the righteousness of Christ, and it has been justified. It's been imputed to my account, that accounting turn. And the great debt that I owe now has been overwhelmed by the righteousness of God. And I'm now acquitted. I was guilty. I am a hell-deserving sinner. But God, he is risen. Because he lives, I can be justified. I've said it, I'll keep saying it, Lord willing, until I meet Jesus. Our great need is not heaven. That is a marvelous fringe benefit. Our great need is to be righteous. And we only can have that because of what Christ has done. He was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says that we've been raised to walk in newness of life. Craziest thing in the world to me is somebody said, yeah, I've come to Christ, he's forgiven me of my sins, and I have no love for Christ. What? I don't care anything about his Bible, I don't care anything about him, I don't care anything about his church. I don't know you got raised to walk in newness of life. Somebody say amen to that. You might have had a religious experience, you might have had some conviction, you might have had several things, but if God's changed you, man, everything's changed and is changing. And it might be slow growth, but there's growth. Sometimes I think folks, we try and get folks who aren't Christians act like Christians, and what we need to do is, you know, just they need to come to Christ. They need to follow him. Not everything's crazy hard. And by the way, some of us, man, our growth's been like this, man. It's been up and down. Every now and then we've gone and we move like that. But there is to be the change of life. There is to be the hunger for God. And there may be the times of disappointment and discouragement. And again, we try and measure things in hours. And sometimes I think I'm glad God measures things in months and years. If you're glad God's patient with you like that, say amen. But there is a new life that is there. You have been raised to walk in newness of life. You have been part of that resurrected power. Why don't we invite folks to that? Your life can be different. Got a jerk you work with? His life can be different. Got a jerk yet you work with? Her life can be different. Some of you are pointing to people around you. Don't do that. Their life can be different. By the way, every one of you, your life is different because what? Because of what God did in your life if you're a follower of his. And you look back now and you barely recognize that person anymore. Because everything's different because of the resurrection. Because he lives, you and I have a living hope there. 1 Peter chapter 1. We've been saved. What? We've been saved to have this living hope, this lively hope. It's not dead. It's not wishful. We mentioned it last week. It's hope when you're hurting, hope when you're grieving. It's hope when you're dying. You and I have this hope there. You have access to God's power. Access to God's power. Pardon me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in believers. You don't have to give in to temptation. Romans chapter 6 teaches if you sin now, it's because you choose to, not because you have to. You are no longer a slave to sin. You can endure hardship. You can fulfill God's purpose. You have access to his power. Finally, you have victory over death. We're back in 1 Corinthians there. Look at those last verses. last verse. Are you still with me this morning? Say amen. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, shall be brought to pass, the sayings written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So the story goes. I was looking at my notes. I found this. I hadn't thought about this little story, this little fictitious story in years. So the boy and his father were riding in the car in summertime. They had the windows down. And a bumblebee flew in the window. The young boy just screamed bloody murder, scared of the bee, screaming, daddy, 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 daddy. Father slowed down, pulled over, reached out trying to swat at the bee and actually grabbed the bee. Son's screaming even louder now, daddy, 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 the bee, the bee, the bee, the bee. The man takes his hand, holds it out the window, opens his hand, the bee flies off. Son's in a panic now. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. Going to come back. Anybody? Anybody? Either that was you or you know somebody like that? Around insects and those kind of things. Dad looks at the boy and says, it's fine. Why did you release the bee? He said, he can't hurt you anymore. He can. He opens up his hand and shows him. He says, he can't hurt you anymore. He said, I've got the stinger right here. I've removed his ability to hurt you. Read it again. Then was accomplished that which was written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. As long as you and I are under the guilty sentence of the law of God, think of the Ten Commandments. As long as you and I are there, we will pay the penalty for your sin. For your sin, you will pay the penalty for your sin. But you can accept what Christ did. By the way, what a picture. The sting, most of us are terrified of dying. We would do anything to avoid that. The greatest griefs in our life have been because somebody we cared about passed away. Two, use that euphemistically like this. Those who fall asleep. Oh, grave, where is your victory? It does not lessen the sorrow of what we feel about death or the fear we have in death, but rather by scale and comparison, the fact of what Christ did should give us overwhelming confidence. He's taken care of it. A believer closes their eyes in death, they are immediately with the Lord. That's a lot of comfort. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Believers don't say we've lost anybody. We know exactly where they're gone. Say, what about their body? Their body gets resurrected and reunited, and we get a glorified body. No more sin, no more cancer, no more heart disease, no more this, no more that, no more Alzheimer's, no more of any of those kind of things. Everything is defeated, but most of all, sin has been defeated. Righteousness has been achieved. We now have this all because of what God did in our lives because He lives. You trying to renovate your life? You allow the resurrected life from Christ. There is a difference. You can go to church. You can get better habits. You can get better answers. You can download an app. The question is not, do you believe in the resurrection? The question is, have you experienced it personally? If you've never followed Christ, you're still in your sins. You don't have to stay there. Christ died for you, but you have to appropriate it. It is sufficient for all, but it is efficient only for those who follow Him. I love that expression. You turn to God from the idols. And there's that idea, Lord, I was headed this way, but I want you to change my direction. I want to follow you. Some of you, that is your testimony. You were headed one way and God turned you around. Lord, I want you more than I want this. And then when you do that, God changes your life. You meet Him there. He offers you life, not religion. He offers you not improvement, but life. Come to Him today. And some of you that know Christ, why do you live like He's still in the grave? Why are you defeated? Why are you discouraged? Why are you so selfish? Why don't you understand that He is alive? Your sin is forgiven. The power to live for Him is real. What has happened to our love? What has happened to our hope? This is what we need. We need to understand because He lives. He is risen. If you need Jesus, come. If you need to get right with Him, come. If you need to rejoice, come. Because He lives, everything changes. Everything changes. Father, we love You this morning. Lord, talk about the evidences. Lord, I can hand out more books. Lord, I can point us to websites. Lord, I believe I can satisfy the intellectual part, Lord, of most honest people here. But most of us are not struggling, Lord, intellectually. Father, we are struggling. We're struggling with submission. We're struggling with acceptance. My life's such a mess, Lord. I've been told I'm a mess. I've disappointed so many people. I've certainly disappointed you, Lord. I can't understand how I can be forgiven. I can't understand how my life can be transformed. Father, I pray that they would have the